opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, one of the all-time greats at LSU, you hear him now on ESPN and the SEC Network, and it's Ben McDonald. And Ben, every time LSU plays a game on television, people will text or call, hey, will Ben make the call for LSU tonight? We love to hear him. So, hey, man, accolades to you. You've done a fantastic job. Only thing I can say is I don't know of another word I can use other than dramatics last night, ninth inning, LSU, Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, it's you kind of got what you thought you would get, honestly. I mean, to me, it's the best two teams here at the College World Series. I think it's a shame not only they're on the same side of the bracket, but they also had to match up in game one of the College World Series, you know. And so you felt like it were going to be close games. The very first game was a really close game, too. Ended up being 4-1, if you'll remember. And,
yeah,
you know, LSU had that one good inning and scored three with, a couple of walks, a couple of hit-by-pitches, and a big base hit. You know, got them three runs. That's all they would need, and they hung on to win 4-1. But, you know, Arkansas, to me, is one of the most complete, if not the most complete team in the country. It's not a whole lot they can't do this year other than beat LSU. LSU beats them, what, 4 out of 5 times, I think it is, you know. And so – tip of the cap to LSU. They were really, really good. The pitchers did enough. The offense came through and hung in there. Jared Jones, as we all know, everybody knows, been struggling a little bit, you know, the last couple of weeks of the season. And, man, he came up big last night. 3 base hits, including a home run. So, happy for LSU, man. They're going to try to win number 8, man. National title number 8, but they got a really good Coastal Carolina team they're going to have to knock off to do it.
Ben, it's amazing. 26-game winning streak. Now, that's really – I don't care who you're playing in college baseball. That is a really long streak to, you know, kind of knock off 26 straight opponents.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and don't forget, they beat Auburn at Auburn. Auburn's a team that swept LSU during the regular season at Auburn, and yet Coastal Carolina goes in there and beats them 2 out of 2, you know, and wins both of the games against them. And they can really pitch. I mean, the strength of Coastal Carolina is their run prevention. You know, their defense is top 25 in the country, and they have 3 starters that can stack up with anybody, you know. And they're number 2 in the entire country in ERA right now. They don't beat themselves. They play clean defense. They don't walk people as a staff, and they come after you, you know. And so they got 3 real dudes with enough offense, and they're a really good team. I mean, people forget now, they're number 13 national seed, because it wasn't like they kind of flew under the radar this year. They're not a Cinderella kind of team. Like, they're a really, really good team. That's certainly their strength, is their pitching and their defense. And it's going to be tough for LSU to knock them off.
Ben, there is a certain part, you haven't played this at the highest level in college, also in Major League Baseball. There is always a certain amount of sports luck involved. And it's the same thing if you're in business. You can be really smart, really talented, but there is also that kind of fine line between luck and skill. And LSU got a little lucky last night too, with some
with
some decisions by Arkansas. That can you imagine doing sports talk in Fayetteville or Little Rock today?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, Dave Van Horn, that was the 10th time here to the College World Series, 8 times with Arkansas, 2 times with Nebraska. The only thing missing from that Hall of Fame resume of his is the national title. It's not going to happen this year, obviously. And so I'm sure they're lighting it up in Fayetteville right now. Because, look, they were probably the best team in the country, I felt like, all year long. And even Dave Van Horn, I mean, as many years as he's been coaching, said he probably thinks, when I talked to him the other day, this is probably – his best team, his most talented team, man. And when you have a team like that, it hurts not to win it, you know. And, of course, with what happened last night, I mean, people forget this was the number one team in the country when you talk about defense. They were fielding 984 going into the game. Nobody in college baseball was better than them this year at fielding the baseball and making routine plays. And last night, man, I don't know what happened to Loy, the shortstop. Probably going to be the Golden Spikes Award winner, which is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy winner. He's one of the finalists. He's at the shortstop position, going to be a number one, first-round draft pick this year. Decided to go to third base instead of turning double play. I'm not sure what happened on that. And then you get, of course, the line drive out to left field the outfielder slips a little bit and tries to come get the ball and hits him and kicks away. And then, of course, the final play was the line drive that Jerry Jones hit over to second base. A tough play, but a play that very well could have been made that wasn't made. And so, but look, we've seen this over the years, man. Not only do you have to be very talented, you got to be lucky to win the College World Series. It is so hard to do. So you got to be talented and you got to be lucky. And certainly LSU was a little lucky, but they also created it. Don't forget, it was a line drive that Hernandez hit to left field. It was a line drive that Jerry Jones hit. Both those balls hit really hard. So it's not like there were big-time errors made. It was just the fact LSU hit the ball hard and those plays weren't made.
Ben, I think Jay Johnson's reaction was like every LSU's fan reaction when you saw him on the field. And it was just that whew, type of moment. And, you know, for Jay, who is, you know, he's come on with us basically weekly throughout the season, and he's talked about how good as a unit this team had been, even when, like, they had the bad series against Auburn. But he has always talked about how good overall this unit is and about how they're built a certain way. They're built around their pitching staff. They tremendous on defense. Now, last night, he had a couple kind of faux pas. And timely hitting, and that, again, came through for LSU. But his reaction, I think, was sort of the reaction of a lot of people, LSU-wise and in Louisiana, last night when you saw him on the field.
Well, I think it was disbelief in a way because, again, when you look at Arkansas, you look at a team that defensively has been better than anybody in the country. And to see a team make three questionable plays there with the game on the line, it's just shocking. Like, you just don't see that very often, you know. And I think that's what it was about. And so it's look, man, all I can tell you is the game of baseball is a weird game. And that's why you got to get 27 outs. Football is based on minutes and quarters, and so is basketball. It's minutes and quarters. But baseball is not on a time frame. It's on 27 outs. You got to get all 27 outs in order to beat somebody and win a ball game. And that's what happened to Arkansas. They struggled to get out number 20, 25, 26, and 27, and LSU made them pay for it. And that's why it's a beautiful game. It's why a team like Murray State can end up at the College World Series, a team that really nobody's ever heard of before. It can never happen in basketball. It can never, ever happen in football, but it can happen in baseball. And you see weird things every day with the game of baseball. Unless you're right. I mean, this team is a little bit different than what LSU. You normally think about LSU, you think about gorilla ball. You think about hitting the ball over the fence. You think about scoring a ton of runs. This team has been built on its run prevention as well. I mean, this is the best pitching staff that LSU's had since 2015. It is the best fielding percentage in the history of LSU baseball. That's what this team was built on, is its run prevention, and they've been really good in doing that with enough offense. It's not that the offense is bad. It's just not as explosive of an offense as they've had in recent years, you know. But it's an older team that knows how to play with some young guys sprinkled in, like Derek Curiel, who to me is one of the best freshman I've ever seen walk through the doors at LSU. I think as a freshman, he is better than Alex Breglin was as a freshman. He is better than what Dylan Cruz was as a freshman. Mikey Matuk, DJ LeMahieu, who won a batting title in both leagues and MLB baseball. He's better than all those guys when you talk about understanding of the strike zone. He got a couple of hits last night. And so it's a pretty special bunch that believes it can. It's been through some tough times. As you mentioned, it was swept by Auburn. And so they've been punched in the mouth a few times, but they know how to respond. And so good for LSU, man. They're going to try to win title number 8.
Ben, the other thing about it is Jay had the comment to me. He said, you know, baseball is so fickle. Just when you think you got the right kind of moves, almost like a chess player, there's a counter move. And then, you know, all your thinking and maybe what you had planned doesn't come to fruition. What you brought up about the hitting, and we see it with Jarrett Jones and how improved he is as a hitter. He's been more patient at the plate. He's had his ups and downs. And I think, to be honest, he's always going to be that sort of a streaky hitter. Even when he goes to the majors, he's always going to be a power guy that you got to watch what you throw around him, because he can pop one out the park real quick for you. But we've seen it with him, his growth overall as a hitter over the last year and a half has really been impressive.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'll take you back to his freshman year when he started as a true freshman early in the year, hit a lot of home runs early in the year, got the SEC play, and honestly was just outmatched. He got outmatched. He wasn't ready for SEC pitching. And Jay Johnson ended up benching him. He didn't play a whole lot the second half of the season. LSU went on to win the national title. Fast forward to last year when he was a draftable sophomore. Had a tremendous year. I mean, the swing and miss got a lot better. His understanding of the strike zone got a lot better. He hit 28 home runs. And a lot of people thought he was leaving, man. He was a draftable sophomore. They didn't think he was coming back. And he wanted the college experience. Didn't get the money that he quite wanted. Didn't know if he was quite ready to leave or not. So he wanted to come back to LSU, get better on defense. And he got a lot better on defense. He came to LSU as a catcher. A lot of people forget that. Ended up playing first base, you know, for 3 years for LSU. But yeah, it's the growth, the maturing. I give Jay Johnson a lot of credit because that's his thing, man, is hitting. Like, he can really teach hitting. And everybody saw the clip of a couple of days ago here in Omaha when LSU was working out and Jay Johnson sitting on the bleachers with Jarrett Jones. And you could just tell they're talking about hitting. They're working on the mechanics and talking about the swing mechanics. And Jay's always working and teaching guys, you know. And I think that little talk that he had and look, Jared's been working really hard to get out of this little bit of a funk that he's in. It's a mechanical issue that he was having where he was opening up a little bit too quickly with his shoulders and the bat had a big bottom to top, more like an uppercut swing. And he's always going to have that. That's his swing, but it was more pronounced than what it typically is. So they got him to quieten that down a little bit, and it really paid off with 3 hits, you know. And look, the good news about that is Jarrett Jones, as you know, and most people know, had hit number 2 in the batting order. He didn't complain at all during Super Regionals when he got, you know, bounced down to the number 5 hole or 6 hole. He took it like a man and said, you know what, my bats are going to count. I know I'm not hitting where I want to hit, but I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to survive. And survive he did in a big way. He came up in some big moments for LSU last night and came through.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And the other thing, too, is Coach Johnson has brought this up, and certainly, you know, the pitching staff here with Coleman and Ianson, they have been just awesome to watch pitch. But he has always praised about, boy, my young pitchers, I have that developing here. And he was like, man, you know, yeah, we're going to lose a lot, you know, because it's tough. You can say next man up, but you, come on. The next guy is not going to be Coleman or Ianson. Now, they may be a different form of very good to excellent, but they're going to be a little different. That young pitching staff that he has assembled here at LSU, not only for now, but for the future, really looks good for the Tigers.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there is some strength there. And look, LSU brought in the number one freshman class in the country, and a big part of that, of course, was that pitching staff. And you're talking about freshmen like Cason Evans, you know, and Cooper Williams that really have an outstanding year. I mean, Cason Evans is having a phenomenal year. Maverick Rizzi, the 6'9" guy out of Massachusetts. It's a strong, strong pitching staff that they have, you know, and those guys have played big parts in the success this year, and they will continue to play big parts in their career at LSU. But, you know, Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson, you know, it's 1A and 1B, man. It's two real stars, like Coastal has. Coastal has the same kind of stuff. But that's where it all starts. And if you can pitch and play defense, I've always said this, and it's true, if you can pitch and play defense, man, you got the chance to win every ball game. That's what's led LSU this year. And Anderson, for me, you know, the kid that had a 27 ERA in SEC play last year in his freshman year. And he had a pretty good freshman year, but he blew up. And he also is a draft-eligible sophomore coming up. And I think there was a lot of hope that he would come back to school for his junior year. But I want to warn LSU fans, he ain't coming back. I'm just telling you. Like, he ain't coming back, you know. Like, he was projected to be a second-round draft pick when the season began, but there's not a kid out there that's had a bigger helium in the draft. And he's gone, and a couple projections I've seen have him going 1-1 overall. I don't know that he goes there, but he's going to be in the top five for sure. And you talk about pitchability, he can do a little bit of everything. He got a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, throwing the ball a little bit better, a little bit harder, and his command is a lot better. And he developed a new pitch, that slider, man, and he really looks like a real number one, you know. And so you talk about Anthony Ianson, you know, anytime you get a kid that comes from a mid-major, and that's where Ianson came from out in California, UC Irvine, you go, okay, how does this stuff translate to the Southeastern Conference, the best conference in baseball? There's always a question mark when you bring in these transfer portal guys. You say, okay, they came from mid-major, but how are they going to perform at the biggest level? Well, he put all that to bed real quick, and he has just had an outstanding year. I mean, think about it. Anderson's number one in the country in total strikeouts, and Ianson's number three in the country in total strikeouts. That's their 1-2 punch that LSU has. And so it's a pretty good 1-2 punch, and it's a reason why LSU is where they are. They have an outstanding team ERA well below 4.
One of the things that we've had people text us and wanted me to ask you about, and that was Chase Shores. And, you know, coming off the injury with the Tommy John surgery, and we had Scott Sanders on, former Major League Baseball pitcher, and he made the comment. He said, I think, you know, if this gets to the world, he may be the X factor for LSU here. And that, you know, when you're coming off that Tommy John surgery, it's not everybody that's on the same pace to come back at the same time. And we started to see it like in glimpses of how good he is. And I know before the season, Coach Johnson came on. He was like, he got some big time talent. So I'll ask you about that. And where do you see him projected in the major leagues? Would he be a guy that you would look at more as a closer or as a starting pitcher?
Let's see. I mean, that's a great question. Now, here's the interesting thing about Chase Shores, and I really think that Jay Johnson was brilliant in the way he handled it. So Chase Shores threw 18 and two-thirds inning his freshman year, which was 3 years ago. And then he had Tommy John surgery earlier in the year, about halfway through the year. And so he had time, obviously didn't pitch at all last year. But going into the season, only 18 and two-thirds. So in a lot of ways, this was really his freshman year when you talk about experience, Dan. But what Jay did was he put him out there as a starter early in the year. He was in the weekend rotation. And the idea behind putting him out there is I want to catch him up. I want to get his innings caught up. If I put him in the bullpen, he's not going to pitch much for us early in the year. But I'm going to put him there. I'm going to let him develop as a starter and see where that takes me. And what happened was Chase Short had some really good outings, and he had some little bit of off outings. But what he got was a lot of opportunities and a lot of innings to kind of feel that 6'8" frame of his and learn how to pitch and be able to throw strikes. It's never been about the stuff for Chase Shores because he was a dude when he came here, you know, out of high school, like through mid-90s and above, even in high school, and he gets to LSU and he's throwing 98, 99, 100, and, of course, he blew out his elbow. So it wasn't about the stuff. It was about could he get enough experience and could he get the ball over the white part of the plate. And Jay gave him a chance to do that as a starter and then took him out of the starting rotation and said, this is the piece that I may need right here to be a wild card, a guy that could kind of be a swing starter if I need him to, or I can bring him in late in ball games to close. And that's kind of what he did and what Chase Shores has done. Now, if Gavin Guidry is healthy, and we all know that he didn't even pitch at all for LSU this year, wanted to be the closer for LSU and had a back issue, had back surgery, will be back next year. But that kind of changed that bullpen and the mindset early in the year. When you don't have Guidry, you had to have some guys step up. And I think that was always the plan, was to put Cason Evans back there to start as a freshman, have him at the back end with Zach Cowan, who those two guys did a wonderful job for most of the year at the back end of that bullpen. Cason Evans would bounce in and out of the rotation when needed. But then all of a sudden, you got the three-headed monster down there with Chase Shores, who can just come in there. We saw it again. I mean, 101 miles per hour. It's and it's from a 6'8" frame, so the extension to home plate where he lets the ball go, don't forget about that. I mean, he's actually, the ball's probably played more like 102 or 103 because of his extension. So you got to have a good bullpen. Matthew Rizzi is down there too. Maverick Rizzi, I should say. He's really good. Jacob Myers came from Nickel State. You know, he can be really good as well. So I like LSU's depth. There's no doubt about that.
Last question for you, Ben. It gets underrated, but what Luis Hernandez has done, and playing catcher, I kind of compare it to being a center in football. Okay, you got to not only control what you can control, but you got to control other things around you. And, you know, everybody's a little bit different in kind of what they throw and everything. But, you know, his bat certainly, you know, he hits that double into left field and everything. And his bat has sort of come alive. But that's a difficult position. As a former pitcher, how difficult it is to play catcher. I know one thing. If you had a busload of guys playing baseball and you said, okay, how many of you guys want to play catcher? There ain't a lot of hands go up. That's all I know. Man, Hernandez has done a really great job for LSU.
No, he has. And I remember him. I mean, of course, he played at Indiana State. And there's a couple of things that Jay really liked about Luis Hernandez. One, he had postseason experience. He played in a couple super regionals over at Indiana State. So he'd been in the fire before. Two, he's an older guy. He's a senior, played on the Puerto Rican national team, has a lot of experience under his belt catching guys, a lot of exposure. He's kind of been in the fire a little bit. The other thing is that obviously he had a tremendous year last year. He had 23 home runs last year for Indiana State and drove in like 80-something guys. And so he was very offensive. The thing that I was worried about, and many people might not know this, he only caught 4 games last year at Indiana State. He was a DH pretty much only the entire year. And I remember asking Jay, I was like, you're going to get a guy that's going to catch for you, but he wasn't even good enough to catch at Indiana State. How's he going to be good enough, to catch at LSU and catch in the SEC? He said, well, and I can't, forgive me, I can't remember the guy's name that was in front of him, but the catcher that was in front of him at Indiana State was a Gold Glove winner in college baseball last year. That's the only reason why Hernandez didn't catch more. But he said, look, Ben, he's going to be fine. He can really catch. He can handle a pitching staff. He's got a lot of experience under his belt. He's a pretty good catch and throw guy, you know. And look, he's proven that. Yeah, offensively, it's not been the year that he had last year at Indiana State. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, if you'll remember. Wasn't hitting the ball very well. But he has come on the second half of the season, man. And he just quietly sits down towards the bottom of that lineup, and he does damage. And it was him that helped get that big, big inning going for LSU. But that, you know, again, the ball was a sinking liner that was hooking a little bit, but he hit it hard off the bat. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Ben, thanks so much for joining us again. You do a fabulous job, man. Love to love you call a game. And, it, you know, you give such great perspective of it. And we get so many people kind of feed that back to us. So I wanted you to know about that. But, man, we appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon.
I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate all the support out there. And just one more thing, man. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty, Ben McDonald, and you hear him on ESPN and also on the SEC Network, does a great job covering college baseball.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.